Welcome to Marianne McPartland's Piano Jazz. Over the years, Piano Jazz has had an eclectic mix of guests ranging from small club entertainers to artists who are not only singers and musicians, but composers involved in film and television, who have recorded numerous albums and collaborated with others on their albums. And all of them have one thing in common, a love of jazz. Today's guest, from a studio session with Marianne in 1992, is Mel Torme, pianist, drummer, singer, recording artist, composer, actor, and book author.
He's written several books, and the latest one is The Life of Famous Drummer Buddy Rich. I mean, I have to stop because I know there's more things, like being on Night Court.
You've said enough.
You know, I mean, we can just go on and on. You're not only a man of many parts, you're like a man of all the parts.
Well, it keeps me off the street, Marion.
Jesus, I would think it would sort of keep you home nights and getting up early in the morning and everything else.
I'm doing that right now because I'm, believe it or not, and this is kind of weird, I have people come to me all the time and say, gee, when Christmas time comes around, and I expect them to say, you know, we love chestnuts roasting on an open fire, which is very nice. But what they always say, and I don't mean everybody, but many people have said over the years, we love your Christmas album. And I say, hold it, whoa, I've never done a Christmas album. And then I start getting, you know, sort of hostile. Sort of, what are you talking about? You're crazy. We've got that album.
Yeah.
I've got it. I can see it now.
Oh, sure.
I see the picture of you with a Santa hat or something. So we finally decided that it was time I did a Christmas album, having been the co-composer of the Christmas song, you know, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. And consequently, I'm very excited about the fact that I'm doing it with a large portion of the great symphony musicians in Cincinnati. Many of them are Cincinnati pops and Cincinnati symphony players, and we're going to have about 75 strong. And the only, I guess you could call it a drawback, is the fact that I'm writing 7 of the arrangements, and I am so slow. I write so slowly, particularly for a large orchestra like that, that every single day I'm devoting anywhere from 5 to 7 hours a day writing these arrangements, and I walk away absolutely cross-eyed. I just don't know which end is up.
Well, but you know, underneath this all, Mel, you must love it, because otherwise you wouldn't be doing it. I mean, I guess the reward for you is hearing the beautiful finished arrangement, and you can think to yourself, boy, I did that.
It really is. That's absolutely the main reward. It certainly isn't money, but it's so time-consuming that what one has to do is look forward to the time when you stand in front of that huge orchestra and hear all those string players play what you pecked down on a big score sheet. So, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, but that's one of the other many things you do is orchestration, write your own arrangements for a symphony orchestra, for small group. I mean, it's just never ending. I would say that you're probably at the peak of your career right now. Would you think that, with all the things that are going on in your life?
I really do. I think you're right. Just from the standpoint of the amount of work that comes in for me now, which is the most it's ever been in my entire career. Actually, 91 was literally the biggest year I have ever had in
Isn't
this
that
business.
Great.
It's crazy at my age, but it's happening.
Oh, you're still a young
kid. No.
I tell you, you sound, you know, talk about young. I mean, when you're up there singing, it's ageless music. Nobody could say anything about age. It's wonderful. In fact, I get mad at you because you're doing more things than you used to do. Like, you'll sing a real high note, and everybody will think that's it. But then you go up to another one. And then you go up to another one.
Well, I've tried to develop that range. You know, I always had a fairly high range, but my low range was problematical because of this sort of husky voice of mine. So I really worked hard at improving the high and low end of my range, and I think I have. I think to the degree of several notes in each direction.
Would you want to kind of prove that a little bit now?
If you'd like.
What do you think?
All right.
We could do a song.
Want to do a Cole Porter?
Cole Porter song would be lovely.
Let me think. When day is done and night comes on. Until the dawn, what do I do? I take your hand and wander through Wonderland, dream dancing with you. We dance between a sky serene, fields of green sparkling with dew. It's joy sublime whenever I spend my time dream dancing with you. Oh, what a lovely windfall, touching you, clutching you all the night through. So say you love me, dear, and let me make my career dream dancing through paradise. Prancing, dream dancing, take it.
Well,
I did it for you.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Thank you.
But don't you, when you're home, do you practice these things? Or do you walk around the house singing, going la, 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 la?
Never. No, I never practice. I occasionally sing in the car. Maybe if I know I've got to go to work and I've been off for, say, 10 days or 2 weeks, which is rare these days, but it happens, then the first few days prior to actually going to work, I'll drive the car around and sing loud, sing anything, just to exercise the vocal muscle, to get it back toned up, so to speak.
Instead, probably sing to your own cassettes in the car?
The only time I do that, Marion, is when I'm, for instance, right now, we're in May right now, but actually last early February and right into the middle of March, I did a tour with a big band, and I had Maureen McGovern with me, and I had written and orchestrated an 18.5-minute Rodgers and Hart medley. It really took a terribly long time to arrange, as I said. I'm so slow. I'm really pedestrian at it. I've never studied, so that everything that I arrange and orchestrate is really kind of instinctive more than anything else.
Well, see, this is another thing you do. You pick songs and you do medleys and you make them all kind of go into one another, and then you change key, and then you add a little snatch of some other tune. It's very clever.
For instance, she sings, when you were very young, I sing, when you were very young, the world was younger than you, as merry as a carousel. And she sings, sit there and count your fingers, unlucky little girl, boo. And I go, in other words, I can't remember the exact key that we did them in, but I, when she sings Little Girl Blue, as she sings the last blue, I go, blue moon. See, blue moon. Yeah, that's what she ends on. Blue. Little girl blue moon.
See, that's really clever. That's really
well,
clever.
Well, it's not clever, really. It's just a matter of studying the music and lyrics, of course, by Lorenz Hart or anybody else that I choose to do a medley about, and try to correlate the songs. You know what I mean? Have a common ground, either in a note, you know, singing a note that she would sing or whoever I'm working with would sing, or at least a word so that you can blend the word, you know?
She's pretty good on the high notes, isn't she?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that must have been an interesting experience.
It really was. Well, Maureen and I have worked together before, but never on such an extensive tour. We did 6 weeks of one-night concerts all over the map. And I must say that it was a rewarding experience just listening to that girl sing every night. She's really, I call her the diva. She really is an extraordinary singer.
Well, you've teamed up with some pretty fantastic people. I mean, not only George Shearing, but I heard you quite a while ago at Westbury Music Fair with Cleo Lane and John Dankworth. That was sensational, the things you and she did.
Yeah, we had some fun doing that tour. Of course, it helps when you do a tour during which or with which you work with people that you absolutely adore, personally and professionally. In the case of Cleo and John, we've been friends for, as they say in England, donkey's years.
Donkey's years.
And consequently, working with them was... And then I'm really looking forward to my Hollywood Bowl appearance this year. This is my 16th year in the Bowl. And this year, I am thrilled to announce it's going to be the L.A. I think it's the Hollywood Bowl Symphony this year. And yours truly, and Miss Peggy Lee.
Oh, I would say you're not doing bad at all for a young fellow.
Not too bad for a squirt.
But you know, she sang this tune that you said you'd like to do. I Didn't Know About You.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful. Now, that's an Ellington tune, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's from the medley that won you a Grammy nomination.
Yes, a nomination. And I must say that it was a great album to do. Again, it was the sixth one that I had done with George Shearing. And I don't remember if it was me or him. It's not important. But one of us came up with the idea of doing the songs of World War II. Because sadly, even though obviously wartime is a tragic time, it does strangely produce some memorable music, both classically and in the pop vein.
Yeah, true. There were some wonderful songs on this album, but I love this particular one. I Didn't Know About You. Can you do that?
Play it for me, will you? I'll join in a little bit at the piano, but not much. I ran around with my own little crowd, the usual laughs, not often but loud. And in the world that I knew, I didn't know about you. Chasing after the ring on the merry-go-round, just having my fun, where it could be found
And yet what else could I do? I didn't know about you. Darling, no, I know I had the loneliest yesterday. Every day in your arms I find, for once in my life, I'm living. Had a good time every time I went out. Romance was a thing I kidded about. How could I know about love? I didn't know about you. Could I know about love? I didn't know about you. I didn't know about you.
Such a pretty song.
Duke Ellington, how can you beat him?
Somebody told me, I forget where I heard this, you had a piano teacher named Lucille Gould?
That's right, yeah. I mean, she was my teacher for three lessons. She gave me three lessons, and then she asked me to play some of these songs that I had written. And I started playing, and she stopped me, and she said, let me ask you something. Do you want to become a pianist? I mean, is that your aim in life, to play the piano for a living? And I said, no, I really want to use it as a tool, you know, as a composing, hopefully someday an arranging tool. Because even in those days, back in Chicago, my heart was with people like Jerry Gray, writing for Artie Shaw and Glenn Miller. And there were some great arrangers, and I wanted to try to follow in their footsteps. And so she looked at me and said, don't take piano lessons. She says, because, you know, you can get around the piano, you can teach yourself all the variations of the chords. Just learn all the chords in C and then just transpose them. And that's exactly what I did. But three piano lessons later, I was out in the street. I would never have been a good pianist anyway, I don't think.
By the way, just so everybody out there knows what's going on, we're having such a good time here. My guest is Mel Torme. I'm Marion McPartland. This is Piano Jazz. Another tune. So many things I want to talk to you about, but I just love to hear you sing so much.
Thank
what can
you.
We do? Simple Life?
You want to do Simple Life?
All love
right.
to.
Yeah. All right.
I don't believe in fretting and grieving. Why mess around with strife? I never was cut out to step and strut out. Give me the simple life. It may be pleasant dining on pheasant. Those things roll off my knife. Give me tomatoes and mashed potatoes. I like the simple life. A cottage small is all I'm after. Not one that's spacious and wide. A house that rings with joy and laughter. The ones you love inside. You take the high road, I'll take the low road, free from care and strife. Sounds corny and seedy, but yes, indeedy, give me the simple life. Sounds corny and seedy, but yes, indeedy, give me the symbol. Ba doo be doo 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 doo.
Oh, my God, what was that? goodness, I used to play that with Benny.
Yes, I know you did. Yeah,
Airmail
that's right.
Special.
Airmail Special. Yeah.
God, I had a hard time with that, and he would always give me the ray.
Yeah, I love that.
I've heard you do a lot of those things in some of your songs, you know, do those Benny Goodman, or any riff, bebop things, you know, they all come... tumbling out, you know them
well,
all.
Well, that's part of the litany, really. You know, you grow up with the big band era and then into the progressive jazz or the bebop era, whatever you want to call it. And if you keep your ears open, you use, at least I do, and I think Ella does too, you use quotes from the various great. I know that there's a wonderful Jimmy Lunsford arrangement of, I think it's Battle Axe. I hope I'm right about this. But the melody is boop doo. And Dexter Gordon used to do that all the time. He'd start a chorus with that particular riff.
That's funny because I've heard Cleo Lane and John Dankworth do that too.
Really?
Yeah. They've got that one down too. Jesus, there's so much to music, isn't there?
There sure is.
God, but you've written
then
some.
Then of course there's this.
Oh. that's one of my favorite things of all time, on hearing the first cuckoo in spring. Yeah. Delius. Do you play that whole thing?
I used to be able to play it all the way through, but you know, not being a pianist, I learned it painfully, and then not practicing it every day. I've lost bits and pieces. Let's see.
Oh, you shouldn't have stopped. That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those lush, beautiful. Just as you get lost in Delius, there you go.
I get lost again in Delius because when I do the bridge, I keep wishing I were somewhere else, walking down a strange new street, hearing words that I have never heard from a girl I've yet to meet. And then I go.
Beautiful. You know, you're making me jealous. You're playing all these interesting piano things. You know what I'd like to do is maybe I could play one of your songs.
Would you really? What do you know of mine? Obscure songs?
I've got to learn Lament to Love. I don't know that one. I know, and I love Born to Be Blue. In fact, I'd like to play that too. But the one I was thinking about was Stranger in Town, which you must have written, I hate to say how many years ago, but I think
Stranger in Town was the second song that I ever got on the hit parade and got records on. I was 17 when I wrote that.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful
I wrote it
song.
in the basement of the Ohio Theater in Columbus, Ohio. I was singing and appearing with Chico Marx and his orchestra. And they had a little tiny, like a 66-note key piano. And I had just been back to Chicago, Marion, and realized that so many of my friends had gone off to the war, and, you know, it was a changed town. A girlfriend that I had cared very much about was gone away, and that's how Stranger in Town happened to come into being.
Well, it's a lovely tune, and I'd like to. I may not play all the right chords, so I'll let you know in front.
I'll be here staring at you.
I know you will. I know. All right.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's something to treasure.
I was getting ready to go.
Oh, gosh. It was terrific.
It's a great song. I used to hear that all the time because Jimmy and I were playing in Chicago in a place called the Brass Rail, mm-hmm. which you may remember.
A real dive.
And sailors would be in there playing the dice game. Or whatever that thing was called.
Yeah,
remember that thing at Dice Game?
26, I think.
Yeah, 26, that's what it was called. And over the PA would come that song, night after night. And I'm saying, this is what a gorgeous song.
Oh, thank you.
And it is.
There's more to come with Marion McPartland and her guest, Mel Torme. This is Piano Jazz from NPR.
We're halfway quite a ways through this program. We have not talked about your latest book. I think you've got 5 or 6 books.
5.
It's incredible. I mean, that's a whole other career, writing books, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's not an avocation. It really is a split career. It's another career entirely.
And you've got a big hit with this book, The Life of Buddy Rich, mm-hmm. Your bosom buddy.
Yeah. Traps the Drum Wonder is the actual title of the book. And that was his name in vaudeville as a child performer. He was a star when he was 18 months old.
I know.
Can
those
you imagine?
Pictures of him as a little baby standing behind a drum.
Yeah.
Incredible.
He was amazing. He really was.
Well, when did you get to meet him?
I actually met him at the Palladium here in Hollywood during the war, 1944. He had just been mustered out of the Marines. And he came in, you know, kind of swaggering, looking semi-hostile. And Charlie Spivak's band was playing there that night. And this is kind of chilling, I think. He invited Buddy up to play. And Buddy played Charlie Spivak's arrangement of Hawaiian War Chant. And he played it as if he'd played it all his life. He was amazing. The very last time Buddy played in public was at the self-same Palladium where we met.
Oh, my God.
And I was the host that night of a program called Sentimental Swing, The Music of Tommy Dorsey. And Buddy got behind the drums, and virtually the last solo thing that he ever played in his life was Hawaiian War Chant.
Well, the thing is, see?
Yeah. No, that's Song of India.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hawaiian War Chant is boot.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And he just...
That's pretty uncanny, though.
It really chills me sometimes.
Well,
to think
did
about
you
it.
Play that and sing? Did you?
Oh yeah, I mean, I sang during the show, and I actually he got up and sang "What You Know, Joe," excuse me, which was an old Tommy Dorsey chestnut during the war, and I played drums for him on it as he sang it.
God.
It was great fun, and it's thank heaven we taped it, and it's something to remember him by.
Well, you must have done extensive research for the book, as well as you knew Buddy. I mean, you had so much in there about him. And, of course, some of the highlights for me were, like, the pranks that he would play.
Yeah,
I mean,
he would
do terrible things.
Inveterate prankster. Sometimes extremely funny and witty and incidentally, ingenious. And other times, you want to take him and slam him up against a wall.
Did you ever do that?
No, but I nearly did once because he had a prank that he wanted to pull on me, in which he was going. I was playing his club in New York, Buddy's Place it was called.
Oh yeah.
And he thought of a very funny prank. He was going to get a couple of his friends from the 17th Precinct, who were burly and looked kind of rough, to come down and grab me in the club, and haul me outside and throw me in the trunk of a car and drive me around for about an hour.
Oh, my God.
And his wife, they talked him out of it. And he stopped the prank quite reluctantly. And they said, are you crazy? Are you insane? A guy could have a heart attack. And afterward, when they told me about it, they said, Marie, whom I loved, Buddy's widow, his wife then, of course, she said, what would you have done if he had done it? And I looked her in the eye, and as quietly as I could say it, non-dramatically, I said, Marie, I almost certainly would have killed him. I'd have picked something up and hit him in the head with a microphone stand or something. I'd have killed the man. I mean, that goes beyond prankishness. That is a very sick mind. In a way, Buddy, well, he's very, very childish in many, many ways.
Yeah.
And, of course, as a drummer, he was an absolute number one genius. You can put him right alongside of Edison, Bell, you know, Robert Fulton. He was a genius. There's no getting around it. I don't care how many people disclaim that and say, well, yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of this technique, but I've heard Buddy swing a band until the whole band was levitated four feet off the ground.
Yeah,
you know.
I have too.
So there's no question in my mind, and in the minds of most people who admired him, that he was literally one of those, and I use this term, believe me, affectionately, freaks who comes along once in a lifetime. Benny Goodman was a freak. Artie Shaw, whom I adore, and one of my favorite human beings, as well as probably the best clarinetist of all, is a freak. I mean, clarinet's such a tough instrument, and those guys mastered it. Buddy Rich mastered the drums.
Well, you're pretty much of a freak yourself. And I think of the quality of this book and other books you've written, the Judy Garland book and your own book. I mean, it's incredible. I would say a genius, you know, because of the different things. And movie making, A Night Court. I mean, that's a whole other thing. You enjoy that, don't you?
I love it. It's a lot of fun. I've grown enormously fond of the people on Night Court. We become good friends. And what you see on Night Court is what you get. They're a bunch of daffy, wonderful human beings. It's been certainly one of the two or three best experiences of my entire life. It's gone on for 9 years now. Nine years. Can you imagine?
It's fantastic. Well, I guess it lets you be a bit daffy, too, when you get over there. That's fun for you.
I learned late in life, Marion, that one of the best attributes one can have is the ability to laugh at oneself.
Oh, yes.
If you can laugh at yourself, then you're reasonably mentally healthy.
Well, I would say you certainly fall in that category. What do you say about trying another tune?
What would you like to do?
I would love to. Somebody said Slow Boat to China.
Oh, okay, great. Let me see.
You've recorded that probably, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, years ago.
I mean, I've lost track of all the things you've recorded.
So have I.
I've given up.
I'd like to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. Get you and keep you by my side. Someday maybe you would be my blushing bride. Out on the briny, neath a moon big and shiny, melt in your heart of stone. I'd like to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. wasn't much help on that one. Okay, I'm glad you were here.
you took me by surprise. You went to B flat, and I thought, oh, there he goes.
Well, you know, just keep you on your toes.
I know.
Listen, try to get your attention.
Believe me, I need that. I need that. Well, just so you all know, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, that we're having a very good time in here. My guest is Mel Torme. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. I wanted to ask you about the Buddy Rich book. And this is something I always wondered. Did he know that the guys on the bus were making that tape that time when he was giving them all a bad time and lecturing them, the band members?
No, that was totally done surreptitiously.
Was
he
it?
Had no idea it was being made. But he was very curious about it, and sadly he passed away before I could bring him a copy of the tape to listen to. He said, hey, I never heard that tape, man. I want to hear that. Yeah, that sounds like me. Yeah, I was pretty rough on that one, huh?
God.
And so I was going to bring him a copy, and he passed away.
Well, as one could say, it's too late now.
Yeah, it's too late now. You're right.
And
not a bad lead into a song, though.
Okay.
Burton Lane, one of the great songs.
Are you going to sing this and let me?
Oh, yes. I'm staying away from the piano on this one.
Too late now to forget your smile, the way we'd cling when we'd dance a while. Too late now to forget and go on to someone new. Too late now to forget your voice. Those stumbling words made my heart rejoice. Too late now to imagine myself away from you. All the dreams we shared together, I relive when we're apart. All the tender fun together lives on in my heart. How can I ever close the door and be the same as I was? Darling, no, no, I can't anymore. It's too late now.
Oh, that's such a pretty song.
Isn't that lovely?
The way you... Well, you do that. Very tender and lovely.
Tender song.
Tender song. Well, you've got so many that you sing. Well, did you ever sing one of your own things, Born to be Blue? Do you ever do that?
Years. I haven't sung Born to be Blue in a long time.
I want to play this, okay?
Yeah, I love it.
Because
sure.
You know what happens? I hope I can find the bridge.
Do it in your key,
though. Let's see. All right, I'm going to do it in, I think it's in D flat. See. See. tune so much I could get out and play it forever.
I'd love to hear you play it.
10 choruses, but it's so hard once you get into the bridge. I'd started with the bridge, so I knew I would get.
It isn't exactly it right. I've Got Rhythm.
No. But it is a great song.
Thank you.
Know, this is, we have to unfortunately call a halt because time has flown by, as it always does.
It does have a habit of happening, doesn't it?
And, yeah. You know, having you do piano jazz, not once, but again, it's just so wonderful. I do appreciate it.
Well, it's really a misnomer for me because other than loving to sit and hear you play, I'm really not a pianist. I love monkeying with it, and you make me sound good. You sound so good that I kind of get in the middle
on.
Of the keys there, you know.
Well, we have time for just maybe one more, and something
we
can do together.
We talked about doing Time After Time, didn't
we? Oh, that's a great one. Let's do that.
What key do we talk about doing that in?
Five flats, believe it or not.
Time after time, I tell myself that I'm so lucky to be loving you. So lucky to be the one you run to see in the evening when the day is through. I only know what I know, the passing years will show. You've kept our love so young, so new. And time after time, you hear me say that I'm so lucky to be loving. Passing years will show you've kept our love so young, so new. And time after time, I tell myself that I'm so lucky to be loving.
Oh,
close.
I love it. Go on forever. Thanks, Mel. You're
always
a doll.
Always a pleasure, Marilyn.
Keep doing whatever it is you're doing, because it's fantastic.
Well, I'm determined to do it till I get it right.
You've just heard a 1992 edition of Piano Jazz with Marilyn McPartland and her guest, Mel Torme. Join us each week at this time for conversation and improvisation with Marilyn McPartland and outstanding guest artists. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Chuck Britz, mastering engineers Bill Sexton and David Mitchell, executive producer William D. Hay. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. You can learn more about the artists and music selections on our website, pianojazz.npr.org. There you'll find a link to our free weekly preview podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the Friends of Piano Jazz, NPR and NPR member stations. Support for this original episode was provided by a grant from Exxon Corporation. Digital archiving was made possible by Save America's Treasures through a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service Department of the Interior. Support for NPR comes from NPR contributors, which include the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org, and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.